We're going to be talking today about the mind of Christ. The Lord's been laying this sort of information on my heart the last several months about, you know, our mind and how all that kind of works and how many's mind is still working sometimes. As you get older, you find out sometimes it don't work like it used to. And we're going to look at that today a little bit. And with the mind of Christ, the Bible talks about that. But, you know, I feel that we need to learn how to unlock our full potential, because God has put potential inside of each and every one of us. And, you know, how we think is so important, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's important, our thoughts and how all that works. And this kind of ties in with our anxiety class, so I thought I would kind of double dip and kind of share some of this stuff to kind of help that situation too, and what we're trying to learn in there. But, you know, once we become born again, you know, there are unlimited possibilities that await us in the kingdom of God. You know, but just because the Bible says that whosoever will doesn't mean that everybody will. I know that. But it does say whosoever. So we need to ask ourselves, am I whosoever? Am I the one that's going to grab a hold of what God says in the Word and start to run with it? And so to do that, we need to pursue God with all our heart. And this is to do this, we need to develop the mind of Christ operating in our life. And that's possible. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to read it in the New American Standard, then I'm going to read it in the Amplified Translation. The Bible says here, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him?" But then it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Amplified Translation says, "For who has known or understood the mind," meaning the counsels and purposes of the Lord, "so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, the feelings, and purposes of his heart." So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for a special stirring here today in each of our hearts. Lord, we desire to draw close to you. We thank you, Lord, that you made a way when it seemed like there was no way. And Lord, we want to be able to walk in your way as you show us the way. Lord, I yield to the gift that you've given me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. What I found out in life, I've been around a while, is that God is always up to something, and we need to be a part of it. Just because God's doing something doesn't mean that we're automatically involved. You know, we have to be a willing participant in what God is doing. That means we have to have somewhat of a, I guess, a spiritual sensitivity. Would that be a right way of looking at that? A spiritual sensitivity to know what God is up to, and then we need to enter in and follow him. Now, my understanding is that godly thoughts precede godly actions, and then worldly thoughts precede worldly actions. Just as simple as that. So, as a man thinketh, or a woman, don't want to leave nobody out, so whenever I say man today, I mean man and woman. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what we think about usually ends up what we do. And so that's why it's so important that you and I guess, think about what we're thinking about. Have you ever thought about that? Huh? Think about what you're thinking about. You know, what's preoccupying our mind? What is dominating our thought processes? You know, when you have a computer, I don't know if you've ever done that, but you can click a little button there and you can tell what's taking up all your CPU power. You know, what's processing. And I wish we had one of those for our mind, where we could just hit a little button and we could tell, you know, this is what you're thinking about. You know, doubt and unbelief, 60% or whatever. Hopefully it's 0%. But, you know, then you just go down the list and you kind of see what it is that's dominating our thought processes. And if we could do that, then we could start to realize, so it's up to us to kind of check this out and to kind of figure out, you know, what it is that we're up to. And so our first point we're going to look at here is the mind of Christ. You know, does it feel today like we have the mind of Christ? It says we can. It says but we have the mind of Christ. But I don't know about you, but sometimes things I read in the Bible sure doesn't feel that way all the time, does it? You know, it might sometimes, but not all the time. You know, sometimes we might think wrong thoughts. Anybody have wrong thoughts? You know, we think those things. You know, sometimes we misunderstand spiritual things. You know, we hear something said and we just misunderstand it, and maybe if we misunderstand it, then our application is all wrong. You know, when we don't really understand how God does things or why God does things, and I believe we can understand these things. We may not understand it in entirety, but there is a deeper level for us to walk in where we can get to that point where we start to flow with God and God's Spirit. But yet if we miss that, we have this misunderstanding of spiritual things, and then everything just kind of unravels. And then sometimes, you know, we just struggle to hear from God and follow His will. If you qualify on any of those, if you can check one of those boxes, then hopefully we can start to unravel that problem today and start to figure out what it is that God has for us on how we can start to turn this situation around. Now, granted, full disclosure, while we're walking here in this earth suit, we have a sin nature, even though we, you know, through the blood of Jesus, you know, we're a new creation, I know all that, but still we deal with some stuff, right? We're all dealing with stuff. You know, but I do believe by growth and starting to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, we can overcome some of this, because I know, because this works. Because I know where I came from, I still remember that. And I know where I am now, and I'm in a better place, and I hope you are too. And if you're not there yet, I guarantee you can get there. I guarantee it. But it's got to be a desire. It has to be something you want. Because I found out with God, unless you want to do something, we're not going to get there, just like anything in life. So hopefully you have a hunger. And if you don't have a hunger, ask God to give you one. That's what I tell people. Maybe you don't feel it right now, but ask God to give you that hunger so that you get there, because I believe we can. So what we're looking for is an illuminated mind, an illuminated mind. You know, Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 kind of tells a little background of where we came from and what our potential was. It says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky, and He brought them to the man, which we know as Adam, to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the sky, to every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. Okay, think about that. Adam had a mind that could name all the animals and remember their name. Boom. Isn't that something? Okay, why? Well, God gave Adam dominion over the earth. Remember, it started, we're not going to go into all that, but, you know, God gave Adam dominion. That means he dominated this earth. That was his call. That was what he was supposed to do. And so God, he could have named them all, but God brought them to Adam, and Adam named them. And what kind of a mind would that be? I can't even remember my own kids' names sometimes. You know what I mean? I mean, they, you know, have you ever had that happen to you? Or, you know, they go through all the family names until they finally get to yours. You know, that happens sometimes, don't it? But Adam had the kind of mind, you know, that he could remember. And that is really powerful. And see, that's what it was like before the curse. when they sinned in the Garden of Eden and the curse fell, and then they lost some of that potential, really a lot of it. And over a period of years, that's what it took, because remember, they used to live a long time. Then over a period of years, it dwindled down, and then, you know, people started dying at a younger age, and then now with doctors, you know, now we live longer. But, you know, if you was born in the, you know, the dark ages, or, you know, your life expectancy was really short. You know, but now we've kind of curved it back up. But, you know, they lived 800-900 years when it started. That'd be a long time, wouldn't it? Long time. Sometimes you just wonder, what would that be like? Would I want to live that long? I don't know. You know, maybe. But I'm going to live forever anyway, aren't you? Spiritually. You know, we're living with, you know, we got eternal life going on inside of us. So different people have different personalities, how they work. You know, my wife and I are different, as you all know. But anyway, I personally remember things that need done, but she remembers experiences better. Like, she pulled up a picture from Bible school, and I was holding one of the pastor's kids, and I don't remember that. I go, where was that at? She says, this was at their house. We went to their house? You know? I don't remember that. Really, it's just blank. I don't remember that at all. But see, I can remember what needs to be done. Boom, 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 boom. You know, it's just weird. And I, you know, and her mom's turning 90, so they're doing a party for her and doing different things. Maybe I shouldn't tell too much. Maybe she's like, okay. See, getting pictures out, you know, and looking at all these old pictures, and got some of our family, and, you know, looking at that stuff. Or we'll be sitting there and she'll remember this memory with the kids. And it's sad. I don't remember that. I know it's probably in there somewhere. Just no recall. I don't have the mind of Christ in that area, evidently. You know, my mind's not working that way. But see, I do want to remember those things, as it sounded kind of cool the way she explained it, you know. But maybe when I was there, maybe it wasn't that fun at the time. I don't know. You know, everybody sees things differently. But, you know, Adam's imagination and creativity was just off the charts. I mean, and some people are so creative. They just can see something, they can just make things with their hands, or, you know, just see visions with in their mind of some very creative things. And, you know, that's just all powerful. You know, so Adam was living at full potential at the time, and then came the fall, and, you know, we know that the plan was to get Jesus here. And then when Jesus showed up, you know, he had the mind. He had this perfect mind. And he wasn't dealing with the sin nature. See, the first Adam fell, but the second Adam, Jesus, they call him the second Adam in the Bible in a place or two, he didn't have that sin nature. And even at a young child, he could go into the temple and he could actually debate the Pharisees, the big religious leaders. And Jesus would explain spiritual truths to these guys who were highly educated and didn't have a clue. And that's the mind that he had. And see, we want to have that kind of mind, you know, especially about spiritual things. Because really, things of the Spirit are the most important thing. You know, heaven and earth is going to pass away. But Jesus says, my words won't pass away. And even though, you know, we live in this world, you know, technically we're not a part of it. So as well as having an illuminated mind, this is what you and I are doing now, is that we have a renewed mind. That's what's what we're working on. I mean, we're under construction. You know, we're trying to get our mind back, you know, to the things of God, due to that barrier that's been established. And then we live in a world that has fallen. And whether we want to accept it or not, people, we're a victim of our environment sometimes. Did you know that the environment that you are raised in, or the environment that you live in, has a very powerful draw on your personality, on how you're going to act, right? So the world that we live in is anti-God, and so it's trying to squash all the spiritual revelation that God wants to give us. Now, fortunately, what's really amazing is how all these scientists try to disprove God all the time, but lately, there's been a pendulum swing where a lot of scientists are admitting the fact that you can't be here without some sort of a plan, which means there had to be a planner. You can't have a plan without a planner. And we know that planner is the Father. Amen? That was the planner. And he came and he made a plan for each and every one of us and for the universe. And so that's just amazing. So we're trying to renew our mind. Now, Jesus broke the curse for us, and now we get to walk in that newness of life. You know, we walk in that new life that only he can give us. You know, we try to reform ourselves. That doesn't work. We can make ourselves better to some degree, but Jesus came and he made us new. He gave us that new life. We're a new creation. We're a new creature. Old things passed away, and that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not for entertainment, even though it's turned into that sometimes. The gospel is a life-changing experience. It comes in and it transforms us. So just like the second Adam came to fix what the first Adam broke, we can renew our mind to the Word of God. Now, to me, the word renew, and we know that's Romans 12:2, and we've went over that quite a few times in my that's one of my key signature scriptures, so I know I've mentioned it quite a few. But, you know, the idea of renew to me means restore. And that means to bring back to its original condition. Now, some people are really into restoring things. You ever see one of those old cars, like a coupe or something, driving down the road? It's just been totally restored. And just, you know, maybe a few years ago, it was a piece of junk in a junkyard, all rusted out. But some guy got it and had a vision, and they took this old car, and they just started sanding on it and maybe getting some new parts, and before you know it, you know, that car has been restored back to its original condition, the way it was created to perform. And people do that with furniture and different things all the time, restore things. And see, that's what's the process that you and I, to be honest, before Jesus got a hold of us, we're just a piece of junk out in the junkyard. I hate to break that to you, but that's what we are. We're broken. We're messed up. We're separated from God due to sin. Things are falling apart. Things are unraveling in our life. But then Jesus. Then Jesus. He comes. He doesn't judge us. He accepts us, brings us in, and he loves us. And through that love, you know, hopefully it melts that hardened heart that we had, and it gives us a love for him. And then through that process and accepting the fact that he died for our sins, and the blood of Jesus comes to wash us clean, and then we get this new life, and then he starts to work on us. And because totally, we're spiritually brand new when we're born again, but our soul is being restored. You know, some people see restoration as a process. Just like if you're working on an old car. If you only go out there and tinker on it about an hour a week, that thing probably ain't going to be fixed for a while. But if you go out there and you work a little bit on it every day, little by little, it's going to start to materialize. And see, that's what it's like with our walk with Christ. You know, we have to spend a little more time than just an hour a week in our relationship with him. Because when we spend a little bit of time each day, you know, it's scientific proof, and we're going to go into all that right now, but just how it makes a difference and it transforms us and it changes our outlook on everything, on life. We start to be appreciative instead of depreciative. You know what I mean? If we have a negative outlook, guess what? Everything we have around us starts to depreciate. We tear it down. It loses value in our eyes. But on the other hand, by spending time with God and being involved, especially in connection with the church community, where iron sharpens iron and all these things start to work out, well, then we start to appreciate. We have an attitude of appreciation, and then our life starts to get transformed. Our mind starts to change how we look and how we think about things, and we start to see the good instead of all the bad. Man, it's a bummer when we see only bad things. When we see only bad, it's just going to spiral us down. And so I think it's a good experiment or a good way to try to just look at the good in things. Try to see the good in every situation. It may be, you know, got a flat tire. Well, I needed a new tire anyway. Praise God. I know that's hard to do. Believe me. You know, but you know, stuff like that. You know, just try to see the good in the situation of whatever happens. And then it's going to start to change the way that we look at things. Okay, so we're under restoration right now. Now, we're going to look at this passage in a little bit larger piece right now. We're going to go back a few verses and read 1 Corinthians 2. Instead of just reading verse 16, we're going to read verse 14 to 16. It talks about two kinds of people. Okay, it says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, but they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." Okay, so now we're going to look at the correlation, the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. Okay? The natural man and the spiritual man. So, the natural man is what we are before we are saved, before we become a Christian. Technically, we're spiritually dead. Now, because we're dead to spiritual things. Now, just to clarify that and explain, for those who haven't maybe heard this, spirit, soul, and body, that's what we are. Right here, each one, every one of you, listen to my voice. We all have a spirit, soul, and a body. That's the way we were created. Your spirit and your soul is the inner you. Then you got a body, right? Everybody here have a body? Amen. If you don't have the body, you can't be here. You're somewhere else. Either heaven or dun, 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 dun. Right? That's the way it works. You got to have a body to be on this planet to work. Okay. Your spirit and soul. Hebrews 4:12 separates the two. It's very hard to separate the two because they're the inner man. But we were created in the image of God, so we're a spirit. We have a soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions, as we know. That's really kind of our personality. That's what makes you and I kind of unique. Anybody here unique? Anybody sitting by somebody unique? Don't raise your hand. Don't, yeah, okay. But, you know, we have this soul, and that's the natural man, because when we're spiritually dead to God, it doesn't mean that our spirit's not alive. Our spirit, because to me, if your spirit's dead, that's a problem. But what it's talking about, spiritual death, it just means to be spiritually dead. If God's over here and we're over here, when we're spiritually dead, it just means there's a wall due to sin separating us. So that's what makes us spiritually dead. Our spirit's still alive, but it's not alive to God. But see, it's got to be alive to God to get the new things. See what I mean? So it's got to be alive to God. That means that barrier has to be taken away, that sin barrier. And the only thing we know that does that is the blood of Jesus. That's why the devil gets really burned out about the blood of Jesus. Because it strips him of that power. Because that blood was alive. And When the blood is applied, when we repent and turn from our sins, and the blood is applied to our life, our sins are washed away. That barrier goes away. Now we're alive to God. We have a better connection. We have a connection with God. That means we can communicate better. I'm not saying God don't speak to sinners, but it's better, it's easier, it's a direct connection after we're saved, because now we're spiritually alive unto God. So that's why it's so important that we understand the concept of what it means to be saved and then what it is that we step into. You know, a lot of people misunderstand, and they think that, you know, when they get saved, it's just fire insurance. You know what I mean? By fire insurance, you don't have to go to hell. Now, that's a good thing, believe me. From what I read about hell, you know, AC/DC had it all wrong. You know what I'm saying? They got it wrong big time, you know. But the idea of just not having to go to hell, there's more. And see, it's that newness of life, and that's what God wants to give us. But, you know, we have to know it's there. You know, Jesus, God said, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. If we don't know what it is we can have, we're never going to get it. Right? So that's why we need to be exposed to truth, because the truth will set you free. Knowledge of the truth will set you free. So that's why we need to be exposed to these things. That's why it's so important to be a part of a Bible-believing church that's going to pick us up and not put us down. That's going to bring us in to greater connection with God so we can live the life that God intended for us, okay? So the natural man versus spiritual man. See, the natural man is dead to spiritual things. Now, here's how the natural man looks at everything. Now, this is going to be a hard problem, but I know most of us have probably graduated high school. A few of us maybe haven't yet, but 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, right? Everybody follow me so far. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, 2, 3. Okay? I can do it that way too. Or that way. That way, yeah. Getting stiffer in my hands, it's hard to do all that. Okay, now, a spiritual man. We do know that 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but also we have extra revelation. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, 3, but yet they're just 1. The natural man can't see this. They don't have that ability to grasp that revelation. But when you're born again and you're alive to God, you just sometimes, it's one of those things you have to accept by faith. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, not 3 different gods, 1 God. And we understand him in 3 different ways, 3 different, I guess, personalities to some degree. And they all come together, and they're really just 1 God. They all think the same way. They never think differently from each other. But see, that's what the spiritual man has a potential. We can start to understand deeper spiritual things of how life really works. But yet, if we never get into that spot, then we're going to be in trouble. See, the natural man is an unregenerated person. Unregenerated. Here's a little bit of characteristics about the natural man. He's governed by mere natural instinct. You know, just like, you know, I don't want to say an animal, but, you know, sort of. We just go by instinct. Things that we've learned and things that we've observed. And we have to only operate and make decisions based on what we see. So based on what we see is how we live our life. You know, are we living for today? Or are we living for the future? Are we thinking short term or long term? Are we thinking farther ahead than our next meal? You know? So, but the natural man is based on, you know, what he has to go on. It's things that he learns through the environment. The big problem is that the natural man does not have the Holy Spirit living inside of him. And that's a problem. Because without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is impossible, isn't it? It's impossible. We cannot live the life of faith based on our own abilities. It's totally impossible. That's why Jesus, I mean, he was a genius, but he's God, you know? I mean, when he said to his disciples, I'm sure it freaked them, hey, guess what? It's to your advantage I go away. Say, what? How can I live without you, Jesus? But he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a comforter. The Holy Spirit is going to come and live inside of you. Well, that's a game changer right there. Because back when Jesus came down to earth for them 33 years, he could be in one place at one time. But when he left, he sent the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is inside each and every believer. We all have potential. But see, in our natural mind, we just think that, oh man, I don't want Jesus to leave. But it was for our benefit. And so we don't see that. So the natural man doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Next thing about the natural man, even though, you know, we don't want to admit it, at least I didn't back in the day, we're in Satan's dominion. You know, if I would have been asked before I became a Christian and they told me that you're in Satan's dominion, I said, no, I'm in my dominion. That's just how I thought. You know, I thought there's three kingdoms. God's kingdom, the devil's kingdom, and my kingdom. You know what I'm saying? I had my own kingdom. But there's only two kingdoms. Kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And we're in one of them. Can't get around it, peeps. That's just the way it is. We're in one of those kingdoms. So if the natural man is also enslaved to carnal passions. We know about that. We've talked about that previously in different series that we talked about. Those carnal cravings that you and I have and how it's so hard to overcome those things. They keep kind of dragging us back. You know, those things are there. And then the last one that I have here is unable to understand God, so we must only rely on human reasoning and emotions. So without those things, it makes it very difficult. Now, let's look at the good part. What it is about the spiritual man, okay? You got the natural man and then the spiritual man. Okay, the spiritual man, starting off, he's been regenerated. I like that word, regeneration. You know, I love a lot of words, I'll be honest with you. I like the word born again. I like that better than converted. When I tell somebody, you know, you need to convert to Christ, I know I tell them, you need to be born again. To me, that paints a big picture. That shows new life. Converted just means looks like I changed my mind. You know, but to me, I like that. And I like the idea of regeneration. Regeneration has to do with the Holy Spirit. Like the Holy Spirit just coming on that situation and, you know what I mean? And boom, new life. Total change. So that's what regeneration. And the spiritual man now has the Holy Spirit living inside of him. We don't feel the Holy Spirit all the time. Do we? You know, maybe you do. You're one of the few blessed ones. But no. But he is there. He is there. And what I like is the fact he's really there when we need him. You know what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, it's a faith thing. Another one of those things in the Bible, you got to accept it by faith. If you go by feelings, well, I don't feel the Holy Spirit, so I must not be here. Well, how about if you don't feel saved one day? Are you still saved? Yes. How about you wake up one morning and you don't feel married anymore? Gentlemen, are you going to turn to your wife and say, hey, I'm not married anymore? Why? I don't feel like it. Well, that's tough. You're still married. See, we don't go by the feelings because feelings will lie to us. And see, the problem is when we get into that position where we're going by our feelings all the time, that's what usually leads us into trouble. Because feelings change like the weather. And we know the weather changes. You know, the another thing about the spiritual man is they're spiritually minded, so he thinks the thoughts of God. That means God starts to speak to us, and we start to think and see things like God sees them. Hopefully, we become more accepting, right? We're less judgmental, because the natural man is very judgmental. But the spiritual man is less judgmental, even though we do judge a little bit. But we need to get over that, because we need to be accepting, just as Jesus accepted us. So the spiritual man also has the ability to resist sinful, carnal desires. I mean, this is an awesome thing. Whenever you do that, you know, whenever, you know, y'all got things that mess you up, did mess you up in the past, right? Those carnal cravings that had a hold of you, and now they have no power over you. Isn't that something? Things that used to make us stumble, things that used to make us bow our knee, no longer have that power over us because we're spiritually minded. Now we see beyond the next hill. We know that that's no life there. I left that life, so why would I go back to that life? If those things that were so carnal that I walked away from because I thought they weren't enough, why would I go back? I mean, why would I do that? So you can start to, you know, put two and two together and think things out. And then follows the leading of the Holy Spirit to have the mind of Christ. And we need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I love. I love it when the Holy Spirit shows up strong. You get under the influence. You know what I mean? When I was in the world, I was under the influence sometimes. I know what that felt like. But when I got over into the things of God, I've got under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And it's powerful. But see, this doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes we've got to put ourselves in position. We've got to put our flesh down. We have to open up our heart to God and say, God, whatever you have for me, I want. That means when we worship God, we just let go. Now, I know that's hard because I'm not the kind of person in my default setting. Everybody know what your default setting is? You know, my default setting is not to sit on the front row and to raise my hands and worship God. That wasn't me. My default setting when I first started going to church is I'd sneak in the back, and then I would want to raise my hand, and I'd get about here. I felt uncomfortable because why? I was scared about what other people might think. You guys ever had that problem? You know what? Once I got over that, ding, 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 ding. Because we were created for worship. Now, I'm not saying you have to raise your hands, but if you want to and you're worried about what somebody else thinks, then you need to get over that. Because that's holding you back. God wants us to be free. And, you know, there's power in that freedom. So don't take this personally, but when it comes to worshiping God, I don't really care what you think. And I hope you don't care what I think or anybody else. Because when you worship God, it's between you and Him. You need to remember that. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up here. Worldly Christians, just to backtrack a little bit, there's some people that come to Christ, but yet they're not really living there. And what that is they don't practice self-denial and they give in to carnal cravings. You know, I know what that's like, you know, just, you know, getting to that point. So if you struggle with this, you can't overcome this. It just comes by sometimes you've got to practice some self-denial. You know, you just can't do everything your flesh wants. You know, those carnal things, you just got to put them down. And what happens is carnal Christians or worldly Christians, you know, they run the risk of being led astray, and we don't want that. So that's why stay connected, keep growing. You're going to stumble, get back up, keep on heading towards God. Now, here's how we do this. See, it says in that passage that we who are spiritual need to appraise all things. That word appraise is talking about to question in order to pass a judicial sentence or to base a judgment on careful and detailed information. Okay, this is what you and I have to do on a daily basis. We need to appraise our life. We need to ask questions about ourselves. Why am I doing what I do? Why am I thinking about what I'm thinking about? And we need to ask the right questions. And then if it doesn't line up with God's word, then we look for solutions. That's all we got to do. Look for solutions. Find a scripture that deals with that. Find a prayer buddy. You know, maybe get some counseling. You know, come and, you know, spend time, you know, talking to myself or my wife. We'd love to help you. But see, to be able to overcome these things, why? I know, because I came from a life of sin, I know what God can do. I know firsthand where God can take you from and where God can take you to. And it's not just for few, it's for everybody. And so, whosoever will, but not everybody will. Our goal should be the whosoever will. Amen? Amen. We're going to stop right there, and I'll pick it up next week. Let's bow our heads in prayer.